Summit Internet. Business internet from just $99 a month. Now available in Footscray and right across Melbourne and Geelong. Visit Robot's click and collect service. Order online. Pick up at your nearest store.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Great to have your company. Still to come, we'll have a chat to Grand Final umpire Matt Stevic. Heaps to put to Matt Stevic. Looking forward to that. Had one on the text as well. A question for Matt Stevic about whether he'll watch Tom Hawkins and I think Jack Riewoldt occasionally push players into marking contests. We'll see whether that's on the agenda on their watch list as well. So plenty to talk to Matt Stevic about a little bit later on in the program. But Andrew Buse has been good enough to join me, former Geelong captain. He was captain for a couple of years under Malcolm Blight, 207 games for the Cats before heading up to Brisbane to play up there. A couple of grand finals as well to his name, but his son Jed might be about to grab something that he didn't grab, and that is a premiership medallion. And the Rat joins you. Welcome to you, Busey. Great to have you on.
Dwayne, thanks for having me. It's isn't it an interesting period? The COVID Cup almost, but I love the fact that we've actually got the season, got it underway, played it, and we've got a premiership up for grabs. How exciting is this?
It is exciting. Have you spoken to Jed? How often do you speak to Jed? You decided not to go up with the Dangerfields and the Selwood family went up and isolated through Darwin?
The entourage. Yeah, no, Julianne inquired and found out how they were going to do it. And look, it was an interesting point in time because we have a gym that we run or we try to run when the state's open. But so we weren't sure. We were sort of tossing up, well, if things open up for us, we need to be here to start the business back up. And so that was kind of what held us back. And anyway, the Dangerfields and the gang, they all took off and they are up there. Interesting side note, a friend of mine and yours also, Bernard Toohey and his wife Kate, they spent about 2 months up there. They got up there reasonably early and came back just after the preliminary final. I said, What were you thinking?
Hey, you might have been a chance to present the medallion as well. Ian Nankervis is going to be a presenter the cup, I should say, to the coach Chris Scott. Ian Nankervis is going to be the presenter. But your time at Geelong, it must be amazing to look back now at all the blood, sweat and tears you gave to the hoops, and now your son might be about to get himself a premiership medallion. It's an amazing journey you've been on footy-wise. As a person who was born and bred in Geelong, you started out there at North Shore and you haven't left the place. You've still got your... Where is your fitness gym? Is it in Finesford, your fitness gym
we're
right now?
We're in Finesford. Yeah, we're in Finesford. Yeah, but interesting, I'm a North Geelong boy, Dwayne. The North Shore is the Seagulls, the blue and gold. Yep. I was a Magpie, a North Geelong lad. And we actually, now those two sides don't play in the same competition. But when I was there, we did used to play them. And I played, Gordon Hines was the legend of North Shore.
Yep.
Former Geelong premiership player in 1963. And, in fact, I was born in 64, so I didn't even see that premiership take place. So I had to wait until 07, my friend. So I have roller-coastered the ups and downs of that period as a player and a supporter until the 07 flag. And I was just actually talking to someone recently about that, and I said, you know what, it just feels like that entire journey was worthwhile up until 07, you know. When 07, the boys won the flag, and I know we celebrated the house down, Dwayne, afterwards, as a player group and a past player group. But for me, this one, if the boys can get over the line, and I really hope that they can, it's just got such a different ring to it, and it's been a heck of a journey. It's something that both these two sides can be super proud of, the fact that they were able to mastermind their way to a grand final.
So has Jed had fun up there, or has he rung a couple of times and said, yeah, gee, it's pretty tough, you know, I wouldn't mind coming home for a stint. How's he travelled?
He's been... Yeah, no, interesting. Good point. Dwayne, he's enjoyed the hell out of it. It's been one of those opportunities where Scotty sold the story early in the scene, even before they'd gone into the hub. So once, I think, ISO 1 had kicked off, you know, they had their off-campus training they had to do. So they were doing all this this high-intensity training for a period. And then all of a sudden, the fitness guy sent him out a new program. It was really a maintenance one. So it was to back off because they weren't sure when the season was going to reboot or if it was going to reboot. And it was, I think by the time they got the news, there was 6 weeks to roll into it. So they went through that phase. And Scotty had been in their heads, though, and just, you know, saying, look, if it goes the way we think, and, you know, we end up in a hub, and, you know, we've really got to make the best of the opportunity, and, you know, it's going to be one of those live-in situations. So they actually all got on board. Everybody at the club was on board, and they were up for it. And Jed in particular was up for it because he doesn't have a relationship with girlfriend currently in town here, or not married with kids, anything like that. So for him, as a single guy, what a life, Dwayne. What a life. I mean, it's isolation, don't forget. We're not talking about being able to get out and escape and socialise with people the way that you normally would. But, I mean, he's working, eating, living, breathing his football dream. So, you know, there's no cleaning, there's no having to cook meals, there's no none of that sort of sidelight stuff that you've got to do and maintain your dwelling and all that sort of stuff. You know, they're getting well looked after. And I'm not saying spoiled, because having to live away out of a suitcase for over 100 days, I don't know too many people have had to do that, and apart from, you know, people who live and work in the mines, that sort of thing. But this is an entirely different scenario. They've got restrictions. They're having COVID tests twice a week still. I mean, it's no picnic, but he's just made a fist of it.
Is he in the band? I noticed that there's a band going up there. Billy's son Oscar's part of it. Is he in the band? You like a bit of music yourself. Your son Jackson is okay on the guitar.
Yeah, Jacko's, he's got it actually on Sunday. He's got a gig at the Barking Dog. He's a bit of a regular down there on a Sunday.
All right.
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure whether they've canned it, because there was talk that the live music might be off again. But Jed plays a mean drums.
Okay, in that band or
drums? But hey,
in that band well, they've got up there at the in the hub. In that band,
because he plays
drums. I like it. Yeah, you've lost your hearing because he plays drums. I like it.
he actually plays guitar too. While he was in Perth, he got in touch with Jackson and he was trying to hunt up what sort of guitar would be a nice, neat little number to pick up on the fly so that he could use it when he got to Queensland. And so he's been practicing up on that. He would definitely be in the band. The boys will be putting together some sort of mean tune. I wouldn't expect Jed to be front and centre doing the lead vocals. He'll certainly sit back in there and do his bit.
Yeah, let's hope they don't ban live music in country Victoria. I can't see anything different between screaming at the footy while you're at the pub sitting down or sitting at a jazz bar watching someone play piano, play jazz while you're sitting there sipping your wine. Let's hope they don't.
There is a wonderful place called the Piano Bar here in Geelong and a number of other venues. But let me tell you, and one of the best pianists that they have in the place, none other than Josh Russell. Did I mention that? Josh Russell plays.
No, fair enough. Hey, Piers, you played with, we're talking about some of the all-time greats. Greg Williams, you played with in your early days. You played with Gary Ablett Sr. I was talking about Buddha being one of the great players of all time. Earlier on as well, and you played against some of the all-time greats in your career, and now we've got this Dangerfield-Dustin Martin equation. How do you sum it all up?
Oh, what a good pick there, Dwayne. Absolutely. You picked my favourites, all of them. The only one you left out was Michael Voss, but I was so lucky to play with some of those superstars and then against them. But this one you've just pegged. What about these two guys? What a pair of freaks. I mean, one's supersonic Rolls-Royce, hard edge, you know, take no prisoners type guy. And the other bloke, he's flamboyant. He floats around the place at lightning speed. He's in every country. I love the way these two blokes are so bloody good, but so different.
And coaches as well, Busey. You have seen the Chris Scott evolution with a son at the club, and you've got your good friends with Billy, whose son is at the club, Sean Simpson's son's at the club. Have you seen the criticism of Chris Scott and the evolution of Chris Scott?
Well, you know what? Here's the thing, I reckon. There's no doubt about Scotty's ability as a coach. And look, I played with him for 5 years in Brisbane, so I know the bloke a footballer. I never saw his evolution as a coach because he was over in Perth doing a bit of time over there. Then found his way here to the Cattery. Look, Scotty and I, when we catch up, we really talk footy. You know, I bumped into him in the middle of isolation here at Truffle Duck, just next door to where I am in Finesford. And the people were saying, what did you talk about? I say, Well, we spoke about probably everything except footy. You know, like in general, how's life, and you know, the good lady and the kids and all that sort of stuff. So we sort of float through just general topics. And interestingly, as I walked away, I thought, wasn't that just pleasant? Didn't talk about not one football subject at all. It was gold. But I see him as a great coach. I think that, you know, it's interesting. There's a lot of detractors over the last couple of years, you know, the minimal success. But coming third or fourth, once you've won a few premierships, sometimes it's seen as failing. I mean, if you ask the St Kilda Footy Club, did they have a successful year? They're going to go, yeah, hell yeah, we had a successful year. We really improved. But when you're at the top of the tree, the expectation is a premiership every single year. They're damn hard to get into. You ask every player that's played in that preliminary final side over the last 4 years, and it's changed a lot in 4 years. They've all done a really good job to get there, just couldn't get there on the day. Now they've broken through that. They're in a grand final, of course. So people will be back on his, you know, saying Scotty's a genius. And I think he is a genius. He works the media beautifully. He has a great flair about him. And when I see him personally, he's a good, fun guy to be with. So he hasn't really changed as a person. I think with his football acumen, absolutely, he's all over it. He knows how the game gets played. He knows how to get his team to play to the best of their ability and their strengths. So I think that what more can you ask for from a coach to have you in the hunt every year almost? And, you know, when I asked Jed, how do you find him? He goes, I love him. He's great. And he's the only senior coach he's had at AFL level. So, you know, after his entire career there, Jed's really pleased to have been coached by him.
And speaking of coaches, you were the captain under Blighty for a couple of years. Blighty's part of this station. Give us if you've got a 1 minute or 2 minute rundown of Blighty, can you give us a snapshot of what it was like to play under him, even though, you know, you were my captain and we played under him together for a while. What are your thoughts now looking back?
Malcolm is he's another guy I would classify as a genius. And geniuses are quite often got a couple of loose sheep in the top paddock. You know, they're going all over the place, running from side to side. Look, he got a bunch of blokes at Geelong that had talent, and they were okay. We're probably a bit shy in numbers at the end of the day in 89 and experience, but I mean, he developed a group of blokes who were, you know, they were in the big league, but not playing like the big league and not training like they were in the big league, and the professional level hadn't quite been attained. But when he turned up, all of a sudden things got snapped into gear and we were able to reach finals. We were able to, you know, start to fulfil some potential. And I know that word gets bandied about. But to have played in, you know, to get the club to be able in the position to be winning premierships, only one game away from it over a long period, was a good effort. You know, a really good effort considering where I think we came from, and in particular with the club's attitude or how we approached our football. So, you know, it took us to the next level. I always say to, and when I left Geelong, I rang Malcolm. I said, look, mate, you taught me more than a lot of people, you know, in my career had. You taught me all the things to do and some of the things not to do. And that was me being honest with Blighty, and we've spoken about that since and been able to have a good laugh and enjoy a beer about it. But, you know, and I think that's the measure is sometimes you don't always see eye to eye. And I sort of, when I left, I was a bit bitter and twisted with Malcolm, and he was probably a bit relieved that I'd gone. but I was very pleased to have been able to say that I got coached by him. I got a lot of, you know, real good football business brains and thrown my way from him. I really appreciated it, and there were things that I didn't appreciate, but most of it I really appreciated, and I got to become a better player.
And before I let you go, what do you think's going to happen Saturday? Busy, how will it unfold? Will danger start in the middle? What do you think's going to happen?
Well, I reckon everything that you think of will happen on grand final day. So if you've got you might just be a mug footy supporter like myself, and you'll have all these scenarios. I've been writing bits, and this is really bizarre. Good question. Over the last 2 weeks, I've been writing down all these little things about football, little notes of how things might play out, little mental notes of what creates concentration, what creates form, what is attitude. All these little weird notes and little cliches. And it's been fun to do because you can then look at this game coming up and go into a little psycho ward of your own. And that's what I've done. I've sort of put all these scenarios up. White stickers everywhere, yellow ones, blue ones, and they've got different names attached to them. I have no idea, Dwayne. I don't know what's going to happen, but I've got all these nutty ideas.
I wish I could talk to you about them for another 15 minutes. So before I let you go, though, are you still competing? And the gym at Finesford, give it a plug for those people who want to get a bit of fitness under their belt when you're allowed to open up, of course, which you aren't at the moment.
Yeah. Once we stop being a private gym and we're open to the public in general, we're at 62 Highland Street in Finesford, right next to Trouble Duck.
Nice.
We are also still competing, Dwayne. Yeah, I competed just before things went south early in the year. Competed in my third Spartan and came second in the country, so in my age group. So I was very happy with that.
That's not bad. And you put the pole away, though. You're not leaping anymore.
I've got a bit of a neck injury, and if I land on my neck, it could be end of day. So I don't do the pole vault anymore. I was pretty satisfied with having a jump back in the 50s and the heights that I achieved and the medals I won. I was pretty happy. So winner was a grinner.
Always great to have a chat to you, Rat. You know how much you put a smile on my face. Let's hope you're smiling Saturday night. We'll talk to you soon.
Look forward to catching up. Have it a red and go the Cats.
Go the Cats. Andrew Bewes, my old captain. And the first day I arrived in town, that was the assignment of the captain. Take the new boy out and have a beer with him. And we've been great friends ever since. We'll take a break. I'll read out a few of your texts. 1-300-736-736. 1-300-736-736 is the open line. Thanks to Werribee Kia. Sam Edmonds is going to join us later. And as I mentioned, we're going to talk to grand final umpire Matt Stevic. Plenty still to come.